I enjoyed hearing from Brother Murphy this morning. I hope you did too. He's one of those preachers where he'll just get you laughing so hard, and then the next sentence he'll just smack you upside the head with a Bible truth. And ow, that hurt. But I enjoy hearing Brother Murphy this morning. He preached, and that lady that was sitting down here by Jackie Smith bowed her head and trusted Christ as her Savior. And we praise the Lord for that. Ryan and Sarah, they're going to come. They've got the special for us tonight. And we're going to look forward to hearing what the Lord has for us through Brother Murphy.
I was in prison, locked up in chains. Sin held me captive to sorrow and pain. Years of frustration as love passed me by, until the Master heard my heart's cry. For grace, marvelous grace, I needed grace to pardon.
Grace of God. Then where would we be without God's grace? And what a blessing that is. For by grace are you saved. And through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And it's not by works of righteousness, but praise God for God's grace. And I appreciate that good song. And they did such a wonderful job for the glory of the Lord. And using your talents and abilities for the glory of God. And will advance the cause of Christ on a sin-soaked society. Amen? And that's what we need. Revival. Raise up a group of people that will claim back the ground we've given up to the modernistic, liberal, compromising crowd. And so praise the Lord for that wonderful song. And I appreciate it. Very, very much. We've got to trust God. Amen? And trust the Lord. Can't put our faith and trust in government. In the government, revival's not going to come through whoever gets in the White House. Amen? And they've just kind of messed some things up. But we just have to trust the Lord. And government's not going to turn it around. It's not going to be, you know, anything else. Economy, you know, the economy's gotten so bad, you know, Exxon has laid off 35 congressmen. Amen. CEOs are now playing putt-putt golf. That's how bad the economy's got. Motel 6 doesn't even leave the light on anymore. A picture is now only worth 200 words. And the economy has gotten bad. Amen. But we trust Jesus. Jesus. And put our faith and trust in the Lord. People are so discouraged and down today. And you see a lot of things happening and all of that. And suicide. I called a suicide hotline the other day. Got some operator in Pakistan. When they found out I was suicidal, they got excited and asked me if I'd drive a truck. Did you interpret that joke, Jana? You trying to interpret that joke down there? I said that for your benefit. Amen. Oh, Jana. Yeah, she's a blessing. She used to babysit my kids way back yonder when she was a Bible college student there in Oklahoma. And all these young people and getting grown up. And so praise the Lord for that. But it's a blessing to be here. And I thank the Lord for it. And so you pray for me. I'll head home tomorrow. And I'll be home for a couple of weeks. Lord willing, I've got a good friend of mine down in Oklahoma. His name's Wirt Avant. Faithful member. Many, many years there at the church. And he was my golf buddy for a long time. And a Korean War veteran and retired fireman and a good man, loves the Lord, and he's not doing very good. It looks like his daughter had to come off the mission field all the way from France, flew in, emergency flight. And so she's there with him. So you might want to remember that situation in prayer. And I may have to go down there. They want me to speak at the funeral. And so, but I'll be home for a few weeks. Then I head back down to Arkansas. I'll be down in Arkansas for about 2 weeks. And then I head over to St. Louis. I'll be preaching over there for Brother Bragg. And I've been preaching for him since 1988. And I'll be preaching a revival over there. And then I go over to Kentucky. And then after that, I can't remember. So, amen. I have to look at my schedule to find out. But the Lord's good. We need revival. We need revival. In our country, and pray that God will do a supernatural work. Amen. Anytime you read the Bible, and people were getting right with God, having revival. Revival comes through the supernatural power and presence of God. In the presence of God. Amen. And you come, in the presence of God. There's no hooping and hollering. There's no running around the auditorium. When you came into the presence of God in the Bible, you fell on your face. You got right with God. Amen. That's revival. Crying out for mercy and recognizing our sinfulness and wickedness and asking God to do a work, draw us to a closer walk with Him, and to be filled with the power of the Spirit of God. I'm going to read some verses out of Mark chapter 10 tonight. Mark chapter 10. Verse number 17, I'll start reading here in this passage of Scripture. Notice here one particular phrase that kind of caught my attention in this passage. Mark chapter 10, and then verse number 17. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen? Every word, every phrase, and we've got that in the King James Bible. Inspired, preserved for you and I. Amen? In heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And so the Word of God in the Bible says here, in the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. You got to underline that in your Bible. Amen. One thing thou lackest. There was something missing. Something missing. Had all this knowledge about things and all of these different ideas about things and the salvation and all of that. And the Lord said to him, You're missing something. And you're lacking something in your life. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast. Give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Amen. And what a message from the Lord Jesus Christ. A message to each and every one of us. As we claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Amen. And to do the work and the will of God. To take up that cross. Follow Jesus. And notice how he responded. And he responds, many times in the same way that a lot of God's people respond to the message of God. Many times when it's preached and God speaks to our hearts. Amen. We don't respond in the way that God wants us to respond or receive it. In the way that God wants us to receive it, knowing that those things that revolutionize our Christianity. Pull us out of that cold, dead, lethargic type of attitude. Many times we allow ourselves to slip off into one thing thou lackest. The Bible says he went away sad. Who's with me? And if there's a people that ought to be rejoicing in the things of God, it ought to be God's people. But he was sad, and the Bible says he went away grieved. And if there's one thing Satan wants to do, more than anything else, is steal away your joy. He's going to do everything in his power to try to discourage you, to get you down, to get you away from the things of God, detoured, distracted, and eventually derailed. Amen. From doing the will of God. God gave him the principle that he needed in his life that would cause that individual to be used of the Lord. The same type of thing that we need in our life. Amen. But there was no reason for this individual to be sad. I mean, he was a rich man. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that what society says? That's the thing that'll make you happy. Money. Money, riches, fame, power. Oh, listen. That's the thing that will cause true happiness. We know that that is a lie of the devil. Who's with me? The Bible says that he went away sad. He was a rich man. He was a religious man. I mean, he had this Bible knowledge of the truths of the Word of God. There was no reason, amen, for him to be down, for him to be grieved. And he probably was a respected type of individual, educated in many areas, religious and rich, respected. Oh, listen, if there's a person ought to be happy, ought to be this fella. Amen. But he went away sad. The Bible declares here that Jesus said, One thing thou lackest. There's something missing. And there's no reason for a child of God to be sad. Amen. There's no reason for us to be down, discouraged, frustrated, irritated, full of doubt, dismay, depression. Who's with me? There's no reason for that to be happening in our life. There's no reason why we shouldn't, as a church, as a movement, independent fundamental Baptist, why we shouldn't be having a greater impact. Why are we having revival? Why are we seeing more people saved? Why are we seeing a manifestation of the power of God in our lives? The way we read about it in the Scriptures, the New Testament, early church, The first century Christians that had the power of God. Yes, they went through persecution. Yes, they went through all sorts of difficult times, of situations. But one thing that they determined, not to let that thing, that situation get them down. Amen. They even had to experience death, as Stephen was the first martyr there, and how Saul, who later on became Paul, was consenting unto that death. There's no reason why we shouldn't, as God's people, live a victorious Christian life, overcoming sin and temptation. There's no reason for you to doubt. Allow yourself to be in that type of frame of mind, to be discouraged. Amen. To be fearful and frustrated about things. And oh, these things happen in our life. Mark it down. There's something missing. There's something missing. In fundamentalism today, oh, the division, dissension. And we have our camps, and we have our colleges, and we have our conferences, and we have our churches. Why aren't we having a greater impact? Who's with me? Say amen. There's something lacking. There's something missing. In society, in our churches, in our homes that ought to be filled with love and harmony and unity. Why the division? Why? There's something there that's missing. Something lacking. I was driving to a church service on my way. I pulled into a McDonald's. And I was kind of hungry. And I ordered 2 cheeseburgers and a cup of coffee. And then I got back on the road. And I reached into the bag. And I pulled out. I unwrapped it with one hand. That's a technique that you develop as an evangelist. When you travel as much as I do. Coffee cup in the other hand. A hamburger in one hand. And I'm driving with my knee. Amen. My knee, and my fake knee. I could still drive with a fake knee. I had knee replacement surgery. And I took a bite, and oh, what a blessing it was. Amen? And I gulped it down. And 2 bites. Gone. And reverting back to my bus captain days when I used to swallow raw eggs and eat goldfish and worm cakes and all of that. Amen? And I reached in the bag again and I took a bite of that cheeseburger and oh, I was grieved. I didn't have that sensation of happiness that I had with the first one. I could taste the bun, the cheese, the pickles, the onions, the ketchup, the mustard. But I could not taste the meat. I opened it up and it had no hamburger patty. No hamburger patty. It was gone. Oh, it had all the ingredients there of being a blessing to an evangelist on his way to preach the gospel and reach the world for the cause of Christ. Amen. But there was something missing. The patty was not there. And oh, how my heart was grieved. I went away sad. I didn't have time to go back. I threw it out the window. You say, you shouldn't litter like that. Well, I wasn't littering. I was sustaining life. Some poor little 7-year-old girl was probably out searching for a little puppy dog that had been out there missing for several days, starving, shaking in the cold. Came upon that hamburger that I threw out the window and was able to sustain life to the place where that little girl was happily united with her doggy. I was not littering. Who's with me? Say amen. But can you imagine that? Biting into a hamburger and there's no bun. There's no meat. Who's with me? It was missing. I want to preach a message this evening simply entitled, Where's the Beef? Amen. Where's the beef? You remember that commercial back in the 70s or 80s? That little old lady, you know, she's like, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Where's the beef? You know, where's the beef? Where's the beef in Christianity? Where's the beef? Where's the strength? Where's the brawn? Where's the power of God? If there's ever a people that ought to be used of God to make a difference in society, now have the power of God strong. Be ye therefore strong, the Bible says, and of good courage. That was the command of Joshua as you go into the promised land. Be strong and of good courage. Amen. Oh, we need to get that strength in overcoming these fears and overcoming fatigue, overcoming all of the temptation and all the things that Satan is using to overthrow our churches, overthrow our faith in God. Where is the beef in your Christianity? Amen. Where's the beef in overcoming those things? Being the soul winner that God wants you to be. Being that husband, that spiritual leader in the home, instructing and guiding and leading in your life, home, to follow Jesus. Amen. Where is that? There's something lacking. There's something missing in Christianity today. We should be having a far greater impact for the cause of Christ. Where's that a crop of young people that need to be reared up with the power of God that will march upon society preaching the Word of God? Where's the preachers today? Where's the soul winners today? Where's the bus workers today? Where's the bus drivers today? Oh, what a tragedy it is. I go to churches and the pastor's got to drive the Sunday school bus. Where's the laborers? Where's the workers? Where's the strength? Where's the brawn? Where is the bones? Where is the beef? There's something missing. I traveled around this country. People are so sad. People just seem to be so discouraged. People seem to be so down. They're so down, so discouraged. I mean, their lip is dragging so low they could eat oatmeal out of a tailpipe. That's a saying I learned when I went to Oklahoma. Amen. I mean, just discouraged. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. We got it so bad, don't we? Christian people. One day we'll walk on streets of gold. One day we'll live in the mansion that God has prepared for us. And one day we'll have a new body. Amen. And one day there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more struggle. There'll be none of that. If there's ever a people that ought to be rejoicing in God, even in tough times, even in dark times, even in these wicked, perilous times that we're living in today, there's no reason for you to be sad. There's no reason for you to be grieved. If it's true, there's something missing, something lacking. Where's that power of God? Amen. There was something missing in this man's life. I believe number one, it was commitment. He wasn't willing to commit. Amen. Wasn't willing to commit. Where's the commitment in Christianity today? Where is that dedication? Where is that devotion? Oh, the Bible said, the Lord said to this individual, He said, sell it all out. Sell everything out. Give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Take up the cross and follow me. Are we following God with every fiber, with a spirit of fervency in our lives, totally sold out and committed to the work of God? There's no reason for us to be sad and grieved as long as we're committed to the will of God, doing the work of God for God's honor and for God's glory. Where's the commitment? People aren't committed today. Amen. My mom and dad have been married 59 years. Now that's a commitment. Amen. They've been members of the First Baptist Church of Rosemont for 43 years. That's a commitment. People get upset, mad, and they want to jump ship. They want to leave the church. There's no commitment. And my home pastor, Dr. Ed Johnson, went home to be with the Lord 2.5 years ago. He was my pastor when I was a young person and got saved when he was 29 years old. Went off to Bible college, studied under Lee Robertson. Then God led him to Rosemount, Minnesota. Grew up in Miami, Florida. Now in Rosemount, Minnesota. First time he saw snow on the ground, he said, "Honey, get up. There's grits everywhere." Grits! He hated winter, and he wasn't shy about letting us know about it. Amen. But he stayed faithful. He brought with him 4 little children. One was a little bitty, a year old baby in 1967. And that baby contracted double pneumonia and has affected residual type of complications that went along with all of that. And oh, it was a struggle those first couple of years living up there in that little bitty town of about 1,000 people and going through those winters and all of that. But praise God, he stayed faithful for 35 years till he was diagnosed with bladder cancer. Turned the church over to my pastor now, Dr. Dave Clear. And but Pastor Emeritus, and continued to preach for another 10 years. Amen. For the glory of God. And I was home 2 weeks before he died. I went to his house, and he was in bad shape, but he wanted to see me, and he gave me his Bible. The Bible that he used to start that church up in Rosemount, Minnesota. The Bible his wife bought him back in 1960. And he had that Bible and used it. And for 10 years, preaching there. And he said, "Murph, I want you to have this Bible. I want you to take up the mantle. I want you to keep preaching the gospel message." And now to the glory of God, I've been able now for 30 years preach the revival message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's the commitment? Amen. Take up your cross and follow me. Have you taken up the cross to follow the Lord Jesus? People don't follow the Lord. They follow Twitter. Who's with me? They follow Facebook. They follow their sports. Someone tried to get me involved in fantasy baseball. And they had one spot left. And they said, "Would you do it? We need you." I said, "Okay, I'll do it." Then I found myself every day looking at fantasy baseball. And got to put this player in here. Got to take that player out. Got to do this. Finally, I said, "I'm not doing it anymore." And I just let it go. And those other 9 guys, there's 10 of us, those other 9 guys, they get excited when their team is playing my team because they know they're going to win. It's fantasy baseball. You're supposed to have 9 guys. I think I got about 3 guys on my squad playing. Everybody else is injured. But oh, listen, people want to follow fantasy this, fantasy that. Follow Facebook. Follow Twitter. Follow the stocks. Amen. Gotta follow this, follow that. Why don't we follow Jesus? And he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Amen. When them people that are sell out, Jesus said, "Sell all that you have." He had no commitment. He had no compassion. Who's with me? He had no true compassion. What did the Lord say to him? Give. Give to the poor. Give it out. Give it away. Oh, listen. If there's a people, I'll have compassion. I'll be God's people. Where's that true compassion that God wants us to have? Jesus had that compassion. The Bible said when he saw the multitude, they were scattered about as sheep having no shepherd. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And it was that compassion that took him all the way to the cross of Calvary, where he sacrificed his body, sacrificed himself. put himself on that cross. Nailed, spit, battered, bruised, beaten. Who's with me? God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Where is that compassion? The compassion that the prodigal son's father had. Amen. The compassion that he had for his wayward boy. See, we don't have compassion like we ought to have for young people that are wayward. We want to criticize them. We want to criticize the parents. We want to criticize preachers that have wayward children. And oh, listen, the problem is fundamental. We're the only ones that are guilty of shooting our wounded. Where's the compassion? The compassion of the prodigal son come home and saw the compassion of his daddy. And it was that compassion that gave him the comfort, that gave him the joy to come back and to be used of God. I'll just be a servant, he said. Oh no, we'll put on the robe. We'll put on the wreath. We'll kill the fatted calf for a wayward child. What kind of compassion we have for people today? Who's with me? Every time I have a birthday, my mother says to me, she said, when you were 9 months old, you started to walk. I've heard that story 58 times. You just stood up and started to walk. 9 months old. I have a brother who's a year younger than me. I said, how about Jeff? He didn't walk till he was 14 months old. I said, what was wrong with him? Did he have some type of a mental disorder? Or he just didn't have it together? He said, no. It was just that every time he got up to walk, you would push him down. Amen. So I walked at 9 months, he walked at 14 months. I mean, that's just the way it is. Some people will walk faster than others. And so it's true in our Christian life. Some people will just grow faster than others. My dad got saved, threw the cigarettes out the window, never smoked again. Now my mother struggled with it. She struggled. I mean, they were smokers, drinkers, got saved, God changed their life. No, she'd quit and go back. But not one time did I ever hear my dad criticize her. Amen. You know, the problem today, just because somebody is, may not be as spiritual as you are, you want to go around and push them down. Who's with me? That's the problem of our church, of pushing each other down when we should be lifting each other up. Not everybody's going to have victory over sin. Like some people. Some people are going to struggle. That doesn't mean you ought to be critical. God wants to use us. Not to tear down. But to build one another up. To help. Have the compassion. Have the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. But this lad had no compassion. He didn't want to give. He didn't want to sell out to God. He said, lay up treasure. And that's what we're here to do as God's people. We're not here to live for pleasure. We're here to lay up treasure. Well, thank God He lets us have fun in the process. Amen? There's nothing wrong with a ball game and different things. But it just seems like everybody's life is centered around accumulating these things so we can have fun. There at the bottom of Mount Sinai, when Moses finally came down, the people rose up to play. That's the problem today. Everybody wants to play. Who's with me? No compassion. No commitment. He lacked these things. One thing now lacked us. Perhaps it was the fact that we see that, and he lacked this principle of being content. He just wasn't content. And I see a lot of people that way today. They're not happy. They're not happy with the job. They're not happy with the marriage. They're not happy with the children. They're not happy with the Christian school. They're not happy with the principal. They're not happy with the... Is it getting quiet on purpose or what? Who's with me? People aren't happy today like that to be. We're saved on our way to heaven. I'm happy today. I'm happy today. In Jesus Christ, I'm happy today. For He's taken all my sins away. And that's why I'm happy today. You got to get going. Get those fingers smoking, girl. Amen. There's no greater joy being in the direct center of God's will. Amen. Who's with me? Say amen. Amen. Oh, listen. My son, Seth, he likes sports, plays basketball. He'll call me on the phone and say, Dad, I scored 20 points tonight. You should have saw me play. And he'll call me up the next time and say, I scored 15 points. And I played a good game. And all our guys played a good game. I wish you were there to see me play. Dad's not always there. Dad's on the road. Dad's preaching the gospel. Dad's gone sometimes 30, 35 weeks out of the year. Are you with me? My little girl, Michaela, 15, redhead, blue eyes, called me on the phone. Says, Daddy, time for you to come home. I'm missing you. I want you to come home. Well, baby, you know I got another week. Preaching revival. We talked about it. She says, yes, I know. But I'm missing you. Who's with me? Oh, listen to me. Listen, there's no greater joy than doing the will of God. But he lacked contentment. He wasn't content. What did Paul say? Paul said to be content. Amen. He said, I'm content. Oh, listen, he was struggling, going through some things. He wasn't going to let it rob him of his joy. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Where's the joy? Where's the contentment? Where's the commitment? Where's the compassion? Where's the excitement? Where's the urgency? Where's the fire? Where's the beef? He looked at that lad and said, hey, I know you got all these things going for you, but you're missing something. You're lacking something. And he went away sad and grieved. Hopefully that's not our testimony tonight. Father, thank you for your love. Take the message. Help us to apply it to our life, dear God. Help us not to get discontented about things, lose our joy, not have the compassion, and not having the commitment we need to have. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Be honest. Be real. Be authentic. Has the Lord spoken to your heart tonight? I say, yes, God spoke to my heart tonight. Lift your hand up big and high all over the building. Be honest with God. I need to be a little bit more content, committed, compassionate about things. God spoke to my heart tonight. When's the last time you're on this old-fashioned altar? You need to come and get saved. Get saved. Whatever the decision, make it for God. Father, you've seen the hands. Bless the invitation. Let's have everyone stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God spoke to your heart. You come on the first note. As the music begins to play, would you come? You're thankful tonight for the compassion of Jesus. The compassion and love that God has. You ought to come and just thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your compassion. Thank you, Lord, for your strength and power. Where's that beef? Where's that brawn? Where is that boldness? Where's that strength? Where's that power? One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. There's something missing. There's something missing. We're just going through the motions. Mechanical. Let's get real. Let's allow God to use us to have a greater influence in society today. Passing out tracts, giving out the gospel message, letting people know. God spoke to your heart. You come, Brother Hall.